But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. I once heard a teacher teaching some young people about the life of faith, and this particular teacher told this little parable, and it has always stuck with me. And what he said to the students was that he asked them, "Did you know that both heaven and hell are a banquet?" And this immediately got all the young people's attention, because that was a new thought. He said, "Yes, both heaven and hell are a banquet, and the silverware is 5 feet long." It's an odd image, isn't it? But he proceeded to say, so what happens is, in hell, people are busily trying to feed themselves, and they're whacking each other on the head with the long silverware and yelling at each other and telling people, "Go away from the table, get out of here, I don't want you here, I need space to eat." And there's fights and conflict, and nobody is getting fed. And in heaven, he asserted, everyone is busy feeding their neighbor across the table from them. And everyone is getting fed and having a lovely time. Great story. Really captured the young people's attention. Had them thinking. And I think that what I like about the story is that it speaks to the reality that there is an understanding and a mindset and a spiritual practice that flows from those understandings and mindsets that Jesus is trying to teach us and that we lose sight of frequently. And part of the reason why we lose sight of it is because it's all about a spiritual economy that is different from the worldly economy, from the economy of our national life, of our global these days life. They're two different things, and it's okay that they're two different things. The trick is not getting one confused with the other. You see, the spiritual economy is one of abundance. We say over and over again, we've talked about it here many, many times, that God is ceaselessly pouring out blessings and grace on all of us. That God is constantly, as our friend Catherine Tanner says, seeking to give everything that is God to everything that is not God. And so, at a spiritual level, what is so is this incredible abundance. And that incredible abundance then makes it possible for us to give things away. We can give away our time and our talent and our treasure. We can give away status. We can give away struggle. We can give things away because there is abundance as the nature of the way things are. And what's more, our identity itself is held in Christ's hand and is not at risk. So often we get defensive, we get combative, we get unpeaceful and unwilling to serve because we fear our identity is at risk. But our identity is in Christ, and it's never at risk. There's a beautiful text in the letters to the churches in the book of Revelation, where Jesus says, "And I give to the one who perseveres a white stone with a new name written on it, known only to the one who receives it. He gives an identity to us as a gift. It's Christ's. It's held in keeping by Christ. Our identity is not at risk because it is the nature of God to be ceaselessly pouring out grace and blessings to all of us. And that is different from the economy of our everyday world and our money. It's different because the global economy is based on scarcity. It's based on there's so much product and there's only so much product and we try to sell that product and we want to make a profit and there is built into the whole system a lot of stuff that is okay, but it's not the spiritual economy. In the spiritual economy, we give up status. In the regular economy, we try to move up the ranks in our jobs. We try to do better financially. We try to climb the corporate ladder. And we do that so we can make enough money to pay for our kids' education and pay for our home and give a little money to the church and to do good in the world. And that's perfectly reasonable. We have to be responsible with our money in the worldly economy as a church and as individuals. Nothing wrong with that. Where we mess up is when we confuse that with the economy of the Spirit, with the spiritual economy. When we're asked to engage in acts of service, it is not, as I was taught, and probably you were taught when we were a little kid, because we need to be knocked down a peg and taught to be humble. That's not the point. The point is we can give away in service because we receive so much. In our jobs, we try to rise up the ladder and become people who, you know, have more of a crucial role to play in the company and make a little better salary for our family and our kids, and that's fine. And in the life of the Spirit, the continual outpouring of God's blessings wipes away all status. How do you have fights over status when all that is a continual outpouring of divine blessing? Who's above? Who's below? There isn't an above and a below in an endless sea of blessing. It's just not there. So when we're asked to engage in service, and when we're asked to be, as the James sentence says, willing to yield, when we're asked to be gentle and peaceable, we're asked to give away things like a little bit of our time, give away our guardedness, give away our striving and our competition, to give those things away because we trust in the abundance of God's love. Not because we're trying to earn heaven, that's worldly economy, not spiritual economy, and that's confusing the two. Not because we have to learn to be humble because God wants us all to get that we're lower than God and lower than dirt. That's the way I was raised, right? And again, that's confusing worldly economy with spiritual economy. No, instead, it's about understanding and really believing and acting like in your life you really believe that God is continually pouring blessings upon us. And when you really believe that, it's liberating. And you can give away more of yourself to the service of others, because you know you're not at risk and you're never going to run out. And God's love is always going to be there for you no matter what's going on in the world. Jesus tries to teach us this all the time. You've heard many of my favorite verses in Scripture are about this. Fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. None there about earning it. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. From Luke. Or the story of the landowner who hires workers at the beginning of the day, the middle of the day, and the end of the day, and pays them all the same. This makes no sense in terms of our worldly economy. It would be a mistake to do that. Because the next day, nobody would want to work with you till the end of the day. Right? It's not what they teach you in management school. Nor should they. But in terms of understanding who God is and how God works, God gives it all away, all the time. That's what that verse means. It's why Jesus would say, consider the lilies of the field. They neither toil nor spin, and God has clothed you even more beautifully than them. Jesus, over and over and over again, is trying to help us see the abundance of the spiritual economy. The abundance that is the nature of God, and therefore the nature of everything that God created. And he's trying to show us that that's different than the economy of the Empire of Rome. And we're asked to see that. And not to confuse the two. So in today's gospel, Jesus is taking his disciples away so he can talk to them because there's a point in what he's trying to teach them and they're not getting it and they're having a really hard time. And I'm sure that occasionally Jesus was just like, oi. He's trying to help them understand that you can so completely trust in the Father's love and in the Father's graces that you can even give your whole life away and it will be okay. He's trying to show them that he is so fully entering the human experience that he is even going to give his life away in death. And it will be okay. Because death isn't the end when you get that God's love is ceaselessly outpouring from the divine heart. And so he's trying to teach them this, and they're not getting it. They're just completely not getting it. It's too hard, it's too scary, it's too weird, it's too abstract, it's too whatever. They don't want to get it. And so what we get in the gospel we heard today is this marvelous opposition, right? And it lays it right out for us. So in the gospel of the spiritual economy of God's ceaselessly outpouring love and grace and blessings, there's no status. It all gets washed away in an endless sea of blessing. How can there be status when there's an endless sea of blessing? It doesn't work. It's not a part of that story. And in contrast, because that's too weird and too scary and too hard for the disciples to understand, what do? They start having a debate about who's the greatest. Exactly the opposite. And Jesus asks them about it, and they don't want to tell him because they're embarrassed, because they know they're missing the mark. They're not getting it. So Jesus calls the child over, and he says, you want to be a part of the spiritual economy, you have to serve. You have to be a servant. You have to be like a child. You know, this child can image the kingdom of God for you because precisely it's not about status. It's not about that. It's about the ceaselessly outpouring love of God. That's what Jesus wants us to get. That's what he invites us to understand. And so every time we engage in an act of service, we step a little further into the spiritual economy. We understand that we can give away some of our treasure, some of our time, some of our talent. The stewardship committee has worked very diligently to make sure that we understand that we're talking about not just money at stewardship season. We're talking about our time. our time to give some of our life in service to others, as well as our money, the opportunity to use some of our talents to benefit other people. It's not just money. And in that life of stewardship, every time we step forward and give a little of our time and our talent away, we step a step further into the spiritual economy, and we start to believe it a little more. It's a spiritual discipline designed to help us learn, inwardly digest, to use the old prayer book phrase, and come to know the reality of that spiritual economy. To know that our lives really are based on the ceaselessly flowing love of God that descends upon us all day, every day, every moment, across the whole universe. That is who God is. And because that's who God is, James could write, "But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits." Full of mercy and good fruits because of this continual blessing of God always flowing towards us without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy.